Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. So first, I'd like to congratulate Claire Rabb and Jordan Goldhammer on the birth of a baby girl who was named Esther Yaakov and Shul this week. Mazal Tov. And I'd like to acknowledge that this week's Kiddush is sponsored by Shana and Julia Ravsky in memory of those who died in the Tree of Life synagogue shootings. May their memories be a blessing. And I'd like to list the names of those who perished as we did this morning in the El Moli Rachamim prayer. Joyce Feinberg, Richard Gottfried, Rose Malinger, Jerry Rabinowitz, Cecil Rosenthal, and David Rosenthal, Bernice Simon and Sylvan Simon, Daniel Stern, Melvin Wax, and Irving Younger. May their memories be a blessing. The entire Jewish world is still reeling from this horrific event in Pittsburgh last Shabbat. For our community, this was an incident that hit especially hard because it took place in a shul, it happened in our state, and many of our members come from that neighborhood and even attended the Tree of Life Synagogue. Many people in our community have reached out to me because we're all struggling to cope with the tragedy and find a way to come to terms with it. I was very proud to see the large turnout at the challah baking on Thursday. I want to thank Rachel Mark and Sammy Belfer for arranging everything, making it so meaningful. The event certainly went a long way in helping our community cope with this tragedy. We all know, however, that the inescapable truth is that we'll never be able to reach any kind of true resolution. All we can hope for is to learn lessons from the tragic event, pull something positive out of something that's so completely negative. One of the things that it impressed on us, unfortunately, is the need to reevaluate our security precautions because anti-Semitic acts are on the rise. I don't think we should overreact, but this incident should be a wake-up call to consider additional reasonable measures. With the help of Federation, McCor is working with local police, perhaps the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, to determine how we can make the shul as safe as possible. Their strong recommendation is that we should strive to achieve the difficult balance to making our synagogue safe for all our members, but preserving everyone's ability to attend shul in a normal way. We will continue our assessment over the days and weeks ahead, provide our shul community with more information. Still, as crucial as the question of security is to our well-being, that focus alone will not suffice to help our community cope with the loss of innocent lives in Pittsburgh. I believe that that we need to also look to the Torah for guidance about how to grapple with their deaths, because that is what the Torah is for, to guide us in different situations when we are at a loss. I think it's quite eerie that last week we were speaking about Akedat Yitzchak and the issue of the randomness of that command to murder just moments after the Pittsburgh shootings took place, unbeknownst to us. And this week, our parasha speaks about the death of Sarah as well as Avraham. But the odd thing about the issue of death in this week's parasha is that for some reason it's connected intensely with life and with marriage, which represents life. For example, although the parasha deals with the death and burial of Sarah, its title is Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. And coincidentally, or maybe not so much, Rivka is portrayed here as the replacement, so to speak, for Sarah in Yitzchak's life, because it specifically says that he took Rivka into his mother's tent. And Rashi quotes the Midrash Rabbah that when that happened, all the miracles in that tent, which were dormant after Sarah's death, became active again. And ironically, Rivka's name for some reason spells out the word for burial in Hebrew, Kvura, the same letters as Rivka. Even more strangely, the primary source for the Jewish marriage is the purchase of the Maharat HaMachpelah, the burial plot originally purchased by Avram for Sarah in the episode at the beginning of the parsha. This burial plot is the first piece of land acquired by Avram in the land of Israel, which means the basis of our connection to Israel, incredibly, is a burial plot. What does this pattern teach us? That a Jewish life and the future, which is represented by marriage, can only emerge from the passing of generations that came before. That's the primary reason why the Torah says, "Vadata pnei zaken," you must respect your elders, and our parsha has a theme of zikna, old age. Not simply because they are old, because they created the foundation for our future. Without that recognition, we can have no future. Many have remarked on the age range of those who were killed at Tree of Life, 54 to 97 years old. And some have said, well, at least no young people died. But in truth, there is a lesson here. We should reflect on the meaningful fact that these older individuals were the ones chosen to sanctify God's name. This event should remind us that we must value the older generations and maintain our precious connection to them. We must appreciate that the future of the Jewish people will be built on the backs of those generations, including those who were martyred in Pittsburgh. This realization is especially poignant for our shul, where most of our members are young. We cannot simply survive by virtue of our youthful community. We must connect to our past and treasure our elders. And in that spirit, we will say a few chapters of Tehillim after Musaf, in memory of those who perished, and in the merit of those who were injured for their complete recovery. And we will pray that these deaths, which were Akidash Hashem, which sanctify God's name, should bring life to the Jewish people forever. Shabbat Shalom.